Thank you for listening to this teaching from Kingdom Discipleship. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul declared, quote, "Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit." The greatest evidence that the Holy Spirit is at work in your life is that you have a heart to know Jesus better, to obey Him more, and to talk about Him more. How often is the name of Jesus on your lips? How much do you talk about what Jesus, not God, is doing in your life? Let's open our Bible now to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that we might see and understand how the Holy Spirit is always pointing us to Jesus.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to another teaching. It's a hot Monday afternoon here in Texas, but it's still a good time to be loving on Jesus, spending time with Jesus, spending time in the scriptures, spending time reading the scriptures, spending time meditating on the scriptures. Above all, spending time to apply the scriptures, spending time to obey the scriptures, and really spending time to repent, to joyfully repent where we see that our lives are not in line with the scriptures. Anything that's not in line with regarding our beliefs and anything that's not in line with our words or actions, then we simply repent. You've heard me say before that repentance is the greatest tool in the Christian's toolbox. Once you become a Christian, now repentance ought to be a part of your daily life. Before you come to Christ, before someone becomes a Christian, the only thing for them to repent of is their unbelief. The only thing for them to repent of is whatever they had been believing that's not in line with the Word of God and the Son of God. Anything that's contrary to the gospel, literally anything but the gospel of Jesus Christ that they were believing, they repent of that unbelief and they turn in faith to Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of their sin, the salvation of their soul, deliverance from eternal hell, and to bring them to heaven when they die. When that happens, when you turn to Christ, Jesus comes to live inside of you by His Spirit, by His Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about that today regarding spiritual gifts. And now with Jesus living in you, with the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit living inside of you, there's conviction that comes, conviction over your sin and over the aspects of your life that are not in line with Christ. And that conviction drives you to repent, not from shame or condemnation or guilt, but again, from an earnest conviction that your words or your actions or your deeds are not in line with the scripture. And you come before Jesus and you earnestly confess whatever's out of place and you repent and then labor to put it, you know, back in order or in order. And so that is that's an extremely important aspect of the Christian life, is that we have times of repentance. Now, the problem is the vast majority of Christians really don't understand what the Bible teaches or what areas of their life they need to repent over. So it is something important for us as ministers to, first of all, to model. I need to have active repentance in my life and then to increasingly teach on. So thank you, Lord Jesus. Little extra blessing for you there. So, all right. So we did an introduction last time in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, massive chapter on spiritual gifts and on the gifts given to believers by the Holy Spirit. We talked extensively about it last time, that the Bible does not in any place say that the Holy Spirit has stopped giving gifts, and it doesn't say that the Holy Spirit has stopped giving miraculous gifts. We did certainly admit that by no means are the miraculous gifts evident in the church of today around the world anywhere close to the way they were evident in the early church that we read in the Gospels and in the book of Acts. But what we talked about extensively is that that's not because Jesus has changed. It's not because Jesus changed his mind and said, okay, I'm going to stop giving those gifts now by my spirit. It's not that the Holy Spirit decided, you know what? I don't think I'm going to give miraculous gifts anymore. What I'm saying is it's not God's fault. It's our fault. As a church, we have become tremendously divided. We lack immense unity, 1,100 denominations, and then even in each individual church, there's a lack of unity. And so since we can't be on the same page, we've become in large part impotent, and it's a, you know, it's a sad situation. I talked about last time, if we could, by some incredible mercy of the Holy Spirit, we could be driven to repentance regarding our lack of unity and come into a place of unity as a body of Christ at large. I believe that the Holy Spirit would again allow the miraculous gifts to be, you know, to be far more active than we see them now in the world today. So thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. Well, Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy, your favor, your goodness, and your grace on our lives. We thank you that we have our Bible, Father. Father, we do thank you, as Stephen says, that we get to do this, Lord, that you've given us this privilege that we get to study your word and teach your word. Lord Jesus, we do honor you, we praise you, we worship you today, our only Lord and Savior and Master and King. Holy Spirit, I ask you to lead us and guide us now as we open your word. I ask you to give us eyes that see, ears that hear, hearts that understand. I ask you to keep me from saying anything that's not true or proper or of you, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Okay, so, all right. So, you know, hopefully my plan is to get through verse 3 today. Again, there's a lot in here. We did the introduction last time. We really didn't even cover verse 1. But all right, 1 Corinthians 12, thank you, Lord Jesus, verses 1 to 3. Incredible verses. Wow. Paul said, now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. Verse 2, you know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. Verse 3, therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, quote, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, quote, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Bam. Okay. All right. Now that's full, y'all. Okay. There's a lot in there. There's a lot of, you know, there's just a lot of weight in there. These are extremely important principles. Okay. And what Paul says in verse 1 is that he doesn't want the Corinthians, and by extension, all the Christian world today, to be ignorant about the fact that God the Holy Spirit, okay, the third person of the Trinity, remember we have one God, you've heard me say it hundreds of times, three distinct individual persons, one being, three persons, one God, three parts, so to speak, okay? You and I are one being, and because we're finite, we're one person. Because God is infinite, he's also one being, one God, but made up of three distinct individual actual persons, God the Father, God the Son Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. And Paul says, now about spiritual gifts, gifts given by the Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit distributing these gifts to the body of Christ. Every true believer in Jesus Christ has spiritual gifts. They don't necessarily have miraculous gifts, but every single believer in Jesus Christ has spiritual gifts. You have spiritual gifts, okay? They've been given you by the Holy Spirit, okay? And, you know, they empower you to serve Jesus Christ and to advance the gospel in the kingdom of God. I'm just excited saying that, okay? Because I don't think about it enough, okay? Wow, thank you, Lord Jesus. Man, All right. Wow. Okay. So again, it's the Holy Spirit that's distributing these gifts. Okay. And he gives you the gifts so that you can serve Christ and advance the cause of Christ, the gospel of Christ, and the kingdom of God our Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Matter of fact, what's on my mind right now is the Gospel of John, chapter 16. And what is it? Is it verse 14? Verse 14. All right. Actually, I'm going to start in verse 12. John 16, verse 12. Jesus speaking, he said, I have much more to say to you, speaking to his disciples, more than you can now bear. Verse 13, but when he, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Verse 14, he will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. Verse 15, all that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Okay, so again, what I was wanting to read there, verse 14, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, he, verse 14, John 16, will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. So again, the Holy Spirit is working in the lives of true believers to bring glory to Jesus, okay? And you've heard me talk about this, talking about using the name Jesus more and more and more and more in place of the generic word God. There's nothing wrong with saying the generic word God. All religions around the world say it. There's just really nothing right about it either. But when you proclaim the name Jesus, there is an immense power that is in no way present in the generic word God. And I've said you can test this simply, and every reasonable person knows it's true. Every reasonable Christian knows you could walk up to a group of people, you could be at a gas station, you could be at a store, you could be anywhere. You could say, God bless you, and I mean, man, and I do it. You know, I need to be using the name Jesus more and more and more. But I can say, God bless you, everyone will be, man, God bless you, brother, amen. Instead of saying, God bless you, you look at everyone or you look at that person and say, may the Lord Jesus bless you and time will stop. Boom. Full stop. Something's different about that, right? The atmosphere kind of gets shaken a little bit because you made it real now. When you say, God bless you, it's a nice generic term. You know, you haven't defined who God is, so it could be any God, right? People will say, well, when I say God, I actually mean Jesus. Okay, very good. Well, why don't you start saying what you mean, right? So again, there's immense power in the name of Jesus, and the Spirit of God came. You can read in Acts 1, Jesus ascends to heaven. The apostles go to the upper room. The Holy Spirit comes, and it's game on now. Okay, it's interesting that until the Holy Spirit came, you know, Jesus told them to remain and wait until the Holy Spirit came. And the Holy Spirit, by the grace of our Heavenly Father, empowers you to do the work of Christ that your Lord Jesus Christ has called you to do. And he's gifted every believer in different ways to do that. Wow. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I mean, that's exciting stuff right there. So again, verse 1. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, and this means brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant. And as I said last time, regrettably, the vast majority of Christians are ignorant about spiritual gifts. You know, we haven't been taught, or we haven't paid attention, or we haven't, you know, gone to study and to get, you know, to be educated on who the Holy Spirit is. And, you know, again, this is why we do these teachings, to teach the Word of God verse by verse by verse by verse. When you do that, ultimately you're going to teach the whole counsel of our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the Holy Spirit. You won't miss anything. going through these, you know, this is the 12th chapter of 16 chapters in Corinthians. By the time, Lord willing, we finish the 16th chapter, we'll have covered almost every subject, almost every doctrine. It's incredible. And so again, topical teachings are certainly good, and they have their place, but just good, strong, expository preaching, teaching the scripture verse by verse by verse, you can't beat it. Mm. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. So the principle here is that, you know, you want to go out, you want to get learning. Now, if you stay locked in, Lord willing, I don't know how many teachings there's going to be on this chapter. Could be 6 or 7. I don't know. I haven't planned out how many teachings. But Lord willing, you know, if you listen to all the teachings in this chapter, you'll come away with a far greater understanding of who the Holy Spirit is, as I've just explained, the person of the Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, and the fact that he has gifted you, if you're a genuine believer in Jesus Christ today, to do the work he's called you to do. You remember in Paul's letters, he consistently opens them up by saying grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, right? If you look at back in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, at the start of this book, Paul opens up verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God and our brother Sosthenes. Verse 2, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Verse 3, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When it says grace and peace to you, grace is two things. And, you know, in application even more, but primarily two things. First of all, it is the unmerited favor of our Heavenly Father toward us. It certainly is the unmerited favor given to us by our Heavenly Father. We didn't earn his grace. It was given to us as a gift. But grace is also the empowering of the Holy Spirit for us to walk out the call of Jesus Christ on our lives. Okay? So certainly it's the unmerited favor of our Heavenly Father, but it is also, you know, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit given each one of us to fulfill what Jesus has called us to do in this life in serving him. So thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. Now about spiritual gift, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant. Verse 2, you know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. And I've talked about this before. Everyone in Corinth was an adult convert. Okay. Meaning Paul started this church about 5 years ago. No one had heard it 5 years before he writes this letter. No one had heard of Jesus. He brings the gospel there to a place that had never been heard. Pretty much everywhere, everyone in the city was in bondage to idols of false gods. Okay. Paul says, verse 2, you know that when you were pagans, just, you know, a pagan is someone who, you know, is involved in any other religion, really, beside true biblical Christianity. Someone who's just chasing after, you know, whatever people say, false gods, other religions, things that just aren't true, aren't real. You know that when you were pagan, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Just a ridiculous statue. You've seen them, a statue of Buddha. Something, it has no power at all. It has no meaning at all. It has no purpose at all. It can't do anything, okay? Somehow you were led astray to mute idols. So there would have been countless idols, thousands of idols. The city was overwhelmed with them, filled with them. Almost all the meat in the city would have been sacrificed to some false god, okay? And Paul says that somehow or other, you were not only influenced, but you were led astray by mute idols, okay? And, you know, because of that, they would have you know, just all kinds of, you know, of different worldly, sinful, feudal practices, okay, around countless false gods where, you know, they were led astray, okay, meaning that they were not true, they're not real, because there is only one God, as we've already said, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and only in the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ our Lord, only in believing and receiving Jesus, only in believing that God the Son, Jesus, entered this world, lived a perfect, righteous life on your behalf, went on to die a horrible, torturous death on your behalf, and then was raised from the dead, only by believing in that, and then running to Jesus and receiving him as your savior, knowing you're a hopeless, helpless, desperate, hellbound sinner, you run to Jesus with that full belief that he came into this world, lived for you, died for you, and rose again, and you receive him. John 1:12, yet to all who received him, Jesus, to those who believed in his name, Jesus, he gave the right to become children of God. So everything else is being led astray to mute idols. Salvation is only in Jesus Christ, okay? Trusting in him, relying on him, knowing that you are, as the Bible says, a helpless sinner, and that only in Jesus can you be delivered from your sin. Only in Jesus can you be rescued from an eternity of torment in hell. And only in Jesus can you spend an eternity in heaven and go to heaven when you die. So Paul says, you know, and this is what he's first teaching about as he opens this chapter on spiritual gifts. You know that you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. When you were pagans, it wasn't the Holy Spirit that was leading you at all. It wasn't God, the Holy Spirit, that was leading you at all. It was your own flesh, other foolish people, and demons that were leading you. Look at verse 3. This is powerful. Therefore, I tell you, that no one is who is speaking by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Verse 3, therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a profound verse. And so, again, you want to pay close attention to everything here, but this is really important, okay? If you are a genuine Christian, okay, there ought to be a manifestation of that faith, of that reality, by you confessing Jesus is Lord. Now, Paul's not just talking about someone puppeting words that Jesus is Lord, but, you know, certainly you ought to be confessing Jesus Christ more and more and more as a lifestyle. Okay, that's why you hear me say, you know, replace the word God with the name Jesus. It's not for you to say Jesus is Lord or to confess Jesus is Lord one time at salvation and then for the rest of your life to just to talk about the generic word God and then say, well, you actually say God, but we're in your mind or heart, you mean Father or Jesus or the Holy Spirit. Okay. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed, okay? It's not the Holy Spirit ever that's leading someone to take the Lord's name in vain or to say anything bad about Jesus, okay? That obviously does not reflect the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit, as you heard me read in John 16:14, that's driving you to consistently and increasingly confess Jesus as Lord and Savior and Master and King and God, okay? It's the Holy Spirit who's driving you, who's driving me to talk about Jesus more and more and more and more and more. So I'll ask you again, how much of your Christian life, when you're talking about God, okay, is actually speaking about the person of Jesus Christ, okay? So again, how do you begin to fix it? Instead of saying, you know, well, this is what God has been doing in my life, replace it with this is what Jesus has been doing. because that's the reality. Okay? There is no God. There is no meaning. There is no purpose. There is no nothing save Jesus. What God has done in your life, he's only done in Jesus and through Jesus. And Jesus is God, your God, the second person of the Trinity. It was Jesus who came into this world for you, Jesus who lived for you, Jesus who died for you, Jesus who rose again, and Jesus who sent his Holy Spirit. Okay? It's all about Jesus. Okay? So, verse 3, therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Okay? Again, Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit, they're the same person, the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit, again, as we mature in Christ, as we grow to know Christ, will lead us and convict us to not only talk about Jesus more, but to serve Jesus more, to love Jesus more, to obey Jesus more, to want to go deeper in our relationship with Jesus, to want to know who our Heavenly Father is more in and through Jesus Christ and only Jesus Christ. You remember John 14, right? Philip said to Jesus, show us the Father and that'll be enough. And Jesus is almost hurt. He says, Philip, have you been with me so long and you don't know me? Jesus looked at Philip and said, don't you know when you've seen me, you've seen the Father? I mean, that's a drop the mic moment. Nobody said that, okay? I mean, no one in history said that. I mean, not Moses, not Abraham, not David, not Elijah, not Enoch. You know, obviously not, you know, not Muhammad, not, you know, Buddha, not Confucius. Nobody ever said what Jesus said right there. Don't you know, Philip, that when you've seen me, you've seen God the Father. Bam, right? So again, what you want to begin to do, and I'm going to wrap up here, is to begin to adjust your lifestyle and incorporating Jesus more into it. Begin to pray more to Jesus and in Jesus' name. Now pray to your Heavenly Father. Pray to Jesus. Pray to the Holy Spirit. You've heard me say that. Don't pray to anyone else, any other being, you know, not an angel, certainly not a demon, or no other human being alive or dead. You can pray to your Heavenly Father. You pray to Jesus. You pray to the Holy Spirit. And when we pray in Jesus' name. You've heard that, I'm sure. To pray in Jesus' name means to pray based on the merit of Christ, to pray based on the work of Jesus Christ. It's to pray in Jesus' name is basically saying that you're not praying in your own name. You're not worthy to pray in your own name, but Jesus is worthy. Therefore, you ask these things or you give thanksgiving for these things in Jesus' name. Now, again, it's not a religious exercise. This is not just about puppeting the name Jesus. It's about growing to have a deeper heart with Jesus. This is how you know the Holy Spirit is really moving in your life. When you start getting a bigger interest, a bigger desire in the person of Jesus Christ. So again, this is the Holy Spirit's whole job, is to magnify Jesus, to point you to Jesus, and to empower you and to give you gifts to be more like Jesus. So ask the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray here in a minute for us, but ask the Holy Spirit to give you a bigger revelation of Jesus. Ask the Holy Spirit to convict you, to confess Jesus more and more, to talk more and more about what Jesus is doing in your life. Ask him to convict you to have the name Jesus on your tongue more and more and more in place of the generic word God. Now, of course, it's still, you know, you want to say you go to your Heavenly Father, right? This is why we have these relational terms, okay? Again, there are times instead of saying God, say, you know, this is what my Father is doing in my life. This is what the Holy Spirit is doing in my life. The Holy Spirit convicted me. But above all, no one can say Jesus is Lord. No one can have a lifestyle of confession about Jesus except by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3. So again, begin to talk about Jesus more, begin to confess Jesus more. Yes, begin to have the name Jesus on your lips more and more. Begin to ask the Holy Spirit that you would go deeper in your relationship with Jesus. You remember what Jesus said? You don't get to know Jesus by looking at the Father. Jesus said, Philip, don't you know that when you've seen me, you've seen the Father? The only way to get to know the Father is by looking at Jesus. And that's why the Holy Spirit is always pointing you to Jesus. Well, Holy Spirit, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy, your favor, your goodness, and your grace on our lives. We thank you that we have this incredible Bible. And Holy Spirit, we do ask you to convict us just to have a greater heart to confess Jesus Christ, our Lord, more and more in everything. Holy Spirit, I ask you to convict me, convict us one and all. I know this is your heart, Holy Spirit, but drive us to Jesus. Drive us to use the name Jesus more in replace of the generic word God. Holy Spirit, I know it's your heart to magnify Jesus. So I ask you to convict us of this now. And I ask you to help us again, moment by moment, day by day, to think about Jesus more and to talk about Jesus more. And I ask you to transform us in and through Jesus Christ, our Lord, that we might be more like him in everything we do. Holy Spirit, it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.